Welcome to the Android Guys in Brief podcast. Today is Tuesday, June 26th, and my name is Matt Adams. I am a managing editor here at androidguys.com, and joining me today to discuss the news is Scott Webster, our editor-in-chief. How are you doing, Scott?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. How are you today?
Can't complain. Another full day of news to get to. Why don't you start us off with our first story?
All right, so first up is the Samsung Galaxy Note 9. This is a device that we expect to see in the next couple of months, maybe even early this year. So the most recent information that kind of lends credence to that is that it's passed through the FCC. The device has the model number, for those who like to track those, SMN960F, and that kind of matches with other model numbers of the Samsung Galaxy Note family. You can't tell a whole lot from the filing besides the bands that it's going to have, and it looks to be like quite a few. The Galaxy Note 9 is typically, it arrives in the fall, but based on how soon it's hit the FCC, looks to be about a month earlier than last year, and that may be a good sign for them if they want to get out there and beat Apple and Google to the punch, not kind of arrive at the same time, but maybe get out there in front. So the rumors so far point to an August 9th unveiling of the Note 9, and that looks to be maybe shipping before the end of August. So that comes to us from the guys at Droid Life.
That's pretty early. They're getting well out in front of the iPhone release schedule, aren't they?
Yeah, and you don't have to do that whole counter with it. And based on what we know so far, it doesn't sound to be super advanced over the Note 8. I would imagine that you don't have to have this big, huge fanfare. Just get it out there and, you know, let the big stuff come next year.
Yeah, it seems like the people who like the notes are just going to buy it because it's the best note available. Like, you don't have to have, like, a huge selling feature at this point.
Right. It is what it is. And if you keep up every year or every other year, you're just ready for it to show up. And if it shows up a month different early, hey, whatever.
Yep. All right. Our second topic today comes to us from GSM Arena, and it looks like the Xiaomi Mi Max 3 or Mi Max 3 Pro has leaked. We had seen some earlier leaks when a device passed through Tenna, which is kind of like the FCC in Asian countries. And that pointed out that the Mi Max 3 was going to have a gigantic 6.9-inch display, a 1.8 gigahertz octa-core processor that was likely the Qualcomm Snapdragon 636. Well, we're getting another leak now. This one comes directly from Xiaomi's website, actually. And it looks like this could be the Pro version of the earlier device that was leaked. So people are pointing to this could be the Mi Max 3 Pro. These new leaks point towards the second device also having that 6.9-inch display, but it will have a Qualcomm Snapdragon 710 processor. This is the processor that was just released a little bit ago, and we haven't really seen many phones feature it so far, so that's going to be interesting. It also looks like it will have 6 gigs of RAM, 128 gigabytes of internal storage, dual rear cameras, I can never say that word, and the killer for me is a 5,400 milliamp hour battery. That is about the biggest we've seen on a major phone out there today.
Yeah, so it sounds like a tablet, right? It's almost a 7-inch right, yeah. Display and that size battery.
I remember rocking a Nexus 7 thinking, man, this is great. Now we have phones that big.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the bezel is what it is on those devices, but now when you look at it, you can actually pocket these things and they fit nice. So
crazy.
Yeah, this interesting to see that. And I mean, when we see devices like this from them, it's not uncommon for other device makers to put something out similar to that. And, you know, maybe next year's iterations of other bigger name brand devices here in the US mm-hmm. might follow suit. So speaking of bigger name brands here in the US, I'm going to jump into topic three. LG looks to be soon launching the unlocked version of its V35. This comes to us from Phone Arena. And basically tells us that, you know, the phone that was announced at the end of May and was exclusive to AT&T and Project Fi is now going to be offered as an unlocked version. LG is listing it on its site, says it will support T-Mobile, Sprint, and Verizon. Interesting. The phone is priced at $899, which is the same price as what AT&T has in Project Fi. And black is the only color available, so nothing too ambitious there. This is an update to last year's V30. And in terms of hardware specs, some of the key stuff you're going to find. This has a 6-inch AMOLED display. It's got an IP68 rating, so it's good against your water, your dust, and your general life, you know, accidents, things, spills. This has inside of it a Qualcomm Snapdragon 845 processor, so really fast, really powerful, and that's coupled with 6 gigabytes of memory with 64 gigabytes of internal storage. This is a new device, so of course it does run Android 8.0 Oreo. And as far as cameras go, this has a dual 16 megapixel and 16 megapixel camera, with one has a wide angle lens. This also has micro SD card support, so if you've got extra memory, media, files, games, pictures, that'll support up to 400 gigabytes. And if you're keeping track on the whether it does or doesn't have the notch, that's a big contentious point for people. This one does not have the notch.
So. Yay.
Score one for that camp, right?
Yeah.
One feature that seems to be love or hate type thing. And I don't know. I haven't had much experience with that on a day-to-day basis for myself, so I can't really say whether I would love it or hate it. And if you could turn it off, you know, we're seeing some companies give you the ability to kind of just say, you know what, forget that extra space up there, go traditional, yeah, whatever. Just give us the options.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I like about the notch right now is, for me personally, I don't look at it as a notch where it takes out some of the screen real estate. I think all of that screen that's next to the notch, that's added real estate. So
right.
When companies give you the ability to turn it off or, you know, black out that area so video can't get up there, like, I'm totally fine with that. I'm not, I've never gotten the notch hate. I'm all for companies releasing phones without notches. Because I don't want that trend to continue long term, but for now it's, you know, it's whatever, as they would say.
Well, I mean, LG has done that with extra space up to the right of the, the speaker for the V20, that series. So it makes sense. I've got a friend who has the V20, loves that, and you see some of the shortcuts that are on there. He likes that quick access to, you know, volume settings or to jump into things that he uses frequently. So if there is a notch, you know, why not give us a little bit of, you know, a shortcut or two, hop you right into email or Instagram, or, you know, take a selfie, Snapchat, some of the stuff that people tend to do a lot of and want to access quickly, you know, maybe take advantage of the notch that way in terms of software. But hey, I'm a blogger. I'm not an actual designer, and I don't know. They might have tested that and people come back saying, no, that's stupid. So who knows?
But here's my question. Here's my question about this phone before we get to the last topic is, how many people do you think are going to run out and drop $900 on this phone? Like,
in black.
Yeah. You get black or you get nothing. It's $900, and it's the same as its updated specs in last year's body. That's a hard sell for me.
No, you're right. To me, it's kind of like, well, at that price, what else? What are my other options? You know, and then you start to look at what Samsung is doing. And then it's like, well, maybe if I wait another month or two, I'll know more about what's coming this fall. That price just really creeps up there for kind of a refresh and not so much of a revolutionary device.
Agreed.
But whatever, man. I think that they either know what they're doing or are completely out of touch.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. They might, you know, this could be one of those ones where all of a sudden it's, you know, offered with free stuff or these promotions that it's like, hey, we're going to throw in a Pico projector or some kind of extra memory or whatever for you to kind of entice you. But that's just a lot of money to come up with out of, you know, no contract to buy outright. Now, of course, you've got your financing or if you put it on a credit card, but that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Speaking of lots of money. So we're starting to get leaks of the Samsung Galaxy S10, which is crazy to me because the S9 has not even been out for like, what, three months?
I mean, it's still June.
Right, still June. Yeah. So it looks like leaks are now pointing towards there actually is going to be three different versions of the Samsung Galaxy S10. Each version will have a different camera setup. And it looks like the highest end model is actually going to have three different cameras a la the Huawei P10 Pro. So the leak points to the Samsung Galaxy S10 is currently codenamed Beyond. So we have the Beyond Zero, which has a 5.8 inch display and a single rear camera. The Beyond One has the same 5.8 inch display, but has a dual camera setup. And the Beyond 2 has a 6.2 inch display with a triple camera setup. So looks like they're staying what they've done in the past with the Samsung Galaxy S9 having the 5.8 inch and the same S9 Plus having the 6.2 inch, but they're just throwing in an extra model in there and going to a triple camera instead of a dual camera setup. The report also indicates that the S10 could have that fabled in-display fingerprint scanner and will most likely release in the first half of 2019, which that's not a surprise because all of the Samsung Galaxy S lineups release early in the year. Do you think we need phones with three cameras? I mean, seems crazy, right?
Where does it stop?
Yeah.
In all seriousness, it's nice to see that it isn't just a race for megapixels because people tend to conflate that with quality, and that isn't the case. So when you start to see things like, you know, depth, contrast, color accuracy, low light settings, you know, all that stuff really does make a big difference. And if you've had a chance to play with a basic phone, smartphone camera over the last couple of years and have ever kind of graduated to other ones, you've seen the difference. And maybe even more so when you have a chance to have one that's great. And then you kind of downgrade or use somebody else's and you kind of find where it can't do certain things or can't achieve what you want from that. Two makes sense. I mean, one, when you look at what Google can do with one, it's incredible. When you look at what you can do with two, some of them do the monochrome to pick up the details. Some of those do wide angle lenses if you want to switch that out. So I get that. And you're not stuck with one sensor, but you can kind of like play around and then capture things and then maybe even like do some post photo edits that you didn't have the ability to do before where you can say, no, I meant to focus on the trees in the background and not the ducks that were in front of it. That's compelling stuff, but I don't know where you go with three. I don't know. You know, I haven't had a chance to do that. So I do want to have that disclaimer up front that I haven't done anything with the P20. I haven't even seen what three cameras is capable of doing. I don't know, man. Are you at all intrigued by the idea of three Galaxy S10s? Is that confusing? Is that... I can find the Goldilocks one for me. What, as you hear that there may be three, where do you fall on that?
So that makes me think of a couple of different things. First off, I do think that they can sell it if there are physical differences in the phones. So if they are going to do a single camera, a dual camera, and a triple camera setup on three different phones, I think a person walking into a carrier store seeing the phones priced at, you know, $650, $750, $850 or whatever, you know, they will have in mind like, oh, this is what I'm getting for this price. So I don't think there's too much overlap there. You're going to pay more to step up what you can do. I just don't know if what you get out of a triple camera setup is really worth the price. It goes to those diminishing returns. Now, there are some cool things that we've seen. I haven't had any hands-on time with the P20 Pro either, but from some of the articles that I've read, you know, it uses all three of those lenses at the same time. And you can basically take a 40 megapixel picture and reduce it to 10 megapixels, and it increases the quality. So stuff like that, pretty cool. Do people need that? I don't really know. I mean, that to me, right, that's a feature that gets you bordering on like DSLR quality. And sure, that's great to have, but that's not what I'm looking for in a camera smartphone. I think you made a really good point of like, I walk around with a Google Pixel 2 XL most of the time, and that thing takes fantastic pictures. And when I'm reviewing other phones that don't take quite as good pictures, you know, I see that drop in quality, but I don't know if you're going to see a similar leap, like going from a great phone to a bad phone, or a great camera to a bad camera in a phone. I don't think you're going to see a similar leap going from something like a Pixel or a Samsung Galaxy S9 into something that has three cameras or, you know, all of this fancy stuff. I just don't think that the returns are there for what they're going to charge for this, because you know this is going to be just stupidly expensive.
Throw a price out there for, you know, three potential models, small, medium, large, or, you know, bronze, silver, gold.
I have to believe that this year's Samsung Galaxy Note 9 is not going to be cheaper than last year's. And if it is, it's not going to be much. So that's going to be $1,000. And it would be hard for me to believe that next year's Galaxy S models start anywhere cheaper than $200 less than a Note. Maybe $300 at the most, because at that point, you're cutting into your Note sales too. So if you're starting at $1,000 this year, and let's say they get crazy and there's a $300 price delta, you know, that's starting at $700, $800, $900 for your phone. That seems about on par with where they're at right now. It's about, I believe, about $50 or about $30 more than they're asking for right now. So I could see that happening. But that's about it for me.
Well, no more. There's plenty of time to learn.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for us today. Thank you for joining us for this episode of In Brief. We record every Tuesday and Thursday to keep you updated on what's going on in the Android world. If you like what you heard today, please go ahead and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We're everywhere. You can also head over to AndroidGuys.com, where we post the podcast and links to all our sources. We've also got two giveaways running right now, one for a Huawei Band 2 Pro and one for a Huawei Watch 2 Classic. Just click on the link for this episode, and we'll have the giveaways right in there, so you can find out where to go. For Scott Webster, I'm Matt Adams. We'll catch you next time.